Coming up on this special edition of the Black Vault Radio, executive producer, writer, and the creator of the new History Channel series Project Blue Book, Mr. David O'Leary, steps into the vault. Premiering on January 8th, 2019, David explores this brand new series, his personal feelings on what Project Blue Book was all about, and what can you expect by tuning in.
This was a man who had access to all these cases and was himself a very kind of meticulous scientist who shifted sides. That was huge for me. He felt that genuinely there is a mysterious phenomena in our skies that we've yet to fully understand. Every case is real, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every week you can be like, no way, that didn't happen. And then you go online and you're like, oh my God, it did. And we wanted to make sure that we're telling the best stories as well. But every major ingredient of the show has aspects of truth.
All that and much more. So stay tuned. The Black Vault Radio is about to begin. More than 20 years ago, I began a journey, my quest for the truth. My name is John Greenwald, and I have hammered the United States government with Freedom of Information Act requests trying to get answers. I have more than 2 million pages of declassified documents for you to download at theblackvault.com. Now, I attempt to dive even deeper and talk to some of the most brilliant minds on this planet. No government secret is off limits, and no question is off the table. All I aim for is the truth. This is the Black Vault Radio. That's right, everybody. This is the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. As always, thank you so much for making this your podcast and radio show of choice, at least for the next 40 minutes or so. Yes, that is a shorter number than usual, but it is going to be a little bit of a shorter show. Now, this is a special edition. This is just a small interview with the creator of the new History Channel series, Project Blue Book. Now, I reached out to David O'Leary, who's the executive producer, one of the writers, but ultimately the creator. He's the one that sold this series to History Channel. This is premiering tomorrow night on History. Check your local listings for the exact times. But he is here to talk about the show itself, what it's going to be, why he created it, what he feels about Project Blue Book, and we're going to get into all sorts of things. Now, again, that is a little bit of a shorter interview than usual, but it's going to be a lot of fun with David O'Leary. So he's coming up in just a few minutes. Now, before we bring him on, I want to talk to you guys about two things. We'll deal with the shorter one first, which is just kind of a more of an interesting announcement. Now, I don't know if some of you have followed all of QAnon posts. Now, QAnon is, it's kind of a mystery. We don't really know who QAnon is. There's a lot of theories out there from Vice President Mike Pence. There's a theory that this person is JFK Jr. There is all sorts of craziness that is going on. While QAnon posts randomly and about various topics, well, before I went to bed last night, somebody texted me and said, hey, congratulations, you made it on a QAnon dump. So I thought, well, what the heck does that mean? So I had to look online, and sure enough, whomever QAnon is, who is followed by, it's arguable. There's really kind of no account or social networking that social network account that I can think of anyway, or that I know of, to see how many people follow. But there are millions of people that follow whatever QAnon posts, and they posted something about the MK Ultra mind control experiments. And posted a link to the Sun article. That was the original article that had profiled me in December of last year and the new CIA documents. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the story again. Obviously, I've talked about it quite a bit here on the show. If you don't know what I am talking about, definitely tune into the last few episodes of the Black Vault Radio. I go into that quite in depth. But what was very interesting about QAnon's post was the fact that he or she, whomever it is, linked over to a present day experiment or project or program, whatever you want to call it, where they are translating brain waves. And in essence, it's really kind of a nice way to say mind control. And if you listen to my interview with Annie Jacobson, one thing that we both brought up was really ultimately hiding all of this research in plain sight. You don't call it MKUltra anymore. You don't call it mind control, but you put kind of this aura of you're doing good, it's peaceful, it's loving, it's puppies and rainbows, but in reality, it is mind control. So QAnon posted that. I'm not real familiar with that program, so it was kind of interesting to, you know, see that that post. Obviously, profiling my work with the CIA under the Freedom of Information Act, getting those documents out, but obviously they took it to the next level and said, hey, check this out. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. QAnon posts are, you know, not exactly the easiest to understand, very much more in code, but definitely check that out. The other exciting thing to talk about, the book Inside the Black Vault, something I authored and delivered to the publisher last year, is finally available for pre-order. Some of you have been asking me how you can get in on that. Well, there's a dedicated website just to pre-order this book, and there's a little bit of a surprise along with it. Now, if you're interested in my book, what I do in a nutshell is literally summarize my 22 years of research into the UFO phenomena. Yes, I say plural because I do believe there are many aspects to it. And using only U.S. government documents that I received myself, I completely destroy what the U.S. government wants you to believe about the UFO phenomena. And I, again, only use what they want. I take you all the way through Project Blue Book and well beyond into the present day and stop at ultimately the revelations of ATIP, because that is unfolding right now. There's a lot of skepticism there on whether or not that is truly a UFO program. So I did not go real deeply into that, because probably by the time this thing is printed and in your hands, that story will have morphed considerably. So what I do is I focus on the actual documented historical facts and go into a lot of government documents, military documents, some of which had never been out before, ever seen the light of day until I started fighting for them. So what I do is kind of take you on a journey throughout different government agencies, different time frames, and put it all out there. And it really just kind of is the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more that you, I could write a 3,000 page book and bore you to death. But what I tried to do was, as asked to me by the publishing company, Roman and Littlefield, who has been great to work with, they've been very, very supportive. This isn't generally a topic that they deal with, so I wasn't really sure what the reception would be. But there's a lot of synergy now between the publishing company and myself. And I hope, anyway, they dug it. And so they really liked the original manuscript. I delivered the book last year. It is being printed as we speak. It's going to be released the week of April 15th. The website to order is www.insidetheblackvault.com. So again, that's www.insidetheblackvault.com. Now, in addition to the book, I have kind of a fun little package for you if you want it. You don't need to buy it. It's a little bit more expensive than the book only. But it's something that really means a lot to me. When authors publish a book, a lot of times they'll figure out, you know, gifts and or extra bonuses or whatever to go along with their book. What I wanted to do was something a little bit different. And with that slightly bigger package, I created and minted, and they're really cool looking. I'm super proud of it. Minted a challenge coin. It's 2 inches in diameter. A challenge coin for my kind of catchphrase and tagline that I've had with the Black Vault for 22 years now. Sometimes it's made its way into the different designs of the Black Vault, other times it is not. But it has been a catchphrase since day one, and that is discover the truth. And why I decided to put it on a challenge coin was because I do this with the radio show that you're listening to now. I do it with the website, theblackvault.com. I did it with the book. I challenge you, the reader, the researcher, the investigator, the curious mind, to challenge what you know and what you believe. Now, a lot of times, you may believe that UFOs are connected to aliens, but sometimes you may believe too much. So that's where I say discover the truth and challenge what you believe, because it doesn't mean I'm targeting the skeptics only, the ones that don't believe. I'm targeting the ones that maybe believe a little bit too much. There's a lot of stuff out there that doesn't deserve the attention that it gets. And so what I try and do with the website and this book is really hone in on the evidence itself, the stuff that you cannot fight, you cannot debate. The documents are real. I've said it before, and I think it needs to be said again. The documents themselves don't lie. The content therein, quite possibly, is a lie. But what I mean by this is documents, when you get them officially, anybody can verify it. They are pieces of the puzzle that no one can say, well, he says that he got him in a back alley somewhere from a guy named, Agent X. So how do we verify that? That is not what this is. That's not what I do. What I do is try and get those pieces of the puzzle for you to really make an informed decision on what's going on. So this challenge coin is really just that. It's a challenge for everyone to look at the real evidence, the real documents, the stuff that you cannot fight, you cannot argue with. Then you can dissect the document and figure out exactly what it means. But you can't argue that these are real documents. And honestly, a lot of them are mind-blowing. I never thought that I would find some of these, documents and records and go through what I went through to try and get them. All on a topic that the government and military here in America says, yeah, it's perfectly explainable. So I targeted the book to the general market, but it appeals to the seasoned researcher. It appeals to the one that has never researched UFOs before. And it appeals ultimately to anybody who wants to challenge that truth, challenge that reality. And that's why I minted that coin. The history behind them, I wrote it up on InsideTheBlackVault.com more extensively. But it's believed by some historians they actually go back to ancient Roman times. The idea of a challenge coin given to military members in Rome for certain achievements that they may have, that they may have done, all the way through World War I, World War II, even to present day, these challenge coins have been around. But it's not just military; even large corporations give them out, even for symbolizing a visit to their corporate headquarters. So there's various meanings behind a challenge coin. But it means a lot to me because it goes to the heart and the root of why I do what I do, to challenge everybody to discover the truth. So check out that coin. Again, you don't need to buy the package with that coin, but you do get free expedited shipping with it if you buy the book only. That's also free, but it's regular shipping. It's actually a book rate, so it is going to be just naturally slower with the USPS. It's just a different rate. So I tried to keep that basic package price-wise as low as I could so that you can buy that. And then, of course, if you want to, spend a few extra dollars and you look at that coin, look at what it means to me and see if it means the same to you. It has been very, very cool. So check it out online, www.insidethablackvault.com, and reserve your order today. One thing I didn't mention, there's only 500 minted. That's it. Once they're gone, they're gone. And every coin is laser etched with its own number. So you will get anywhere from number 1 through 500. Many of you have already ordered here, it's only been online for 24 hours, have asked me how that works. It is literally in order from when you order, from the first person to the last. And then that is how those numbers work. And they will be sent chronologically in no other way. And so that is going to be how that works. Why pre-order? Because the book isn't shipping before April 15th. The reason is simple. the first drop of books that I get on my doorstep that go out from me. The number of those books is determined by the number of pre-orders. So the pre-orders will guarantee you a copy off the top. If, let's say, you order from me April 14th, hopefully I'll have them. I'm going to try and keep them, stocked up for everybody. But the response in the last day has been outstanding, and I am so thankful for that. But again, people are asking me how that works. I just wanted to let you know that is why I have these pre-orders a little bit early. That way you can reserve your copy off the top. As the number of pre-orders grows, my original shipment will grow, but I have a cutoff time from the printer and the publishing company because they are printing them now. So in the next week or two, I'm going to be giving the publishing company a number. That will be my first batch. As more pre-orders come in, I'll create a second batch, but that'll probably be after April 15th. So make sure you reserved your copy. Now let me move on to the show. Mr. David O'Leary, the creator, executive producer, and writer of the brand new Project Blue Book series, a dramatized series on the History Channel. He is coming right up to talk about Project Blue Book, his series, why he created it, what can you expect tomorrow when it appears. He's here today on the Black Vault Radio. Stay tuned. On this episode's TBV Dialogue segment, I welcome Mr. David O'Leary, the creator and writer on the new History Channel series Project Blue Book. It's all based on the U.S. military study of UFOs and the story of Dr. J. Allen Hynek. The series premieres tomorrow, January 8th, on History. David, welcome to the Black Vault Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks so much.
No, it's my pleasure, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. First and foremost, congratulations. I've been able to take a sneak peek at the series. It is well done. You can deduce that from the trailer and the cast. But the story as well, I mean, it's just entertaining. And I want to congratulate you as being the creator and the writer of the series. Tell everybody who's not real familiar with the story of Project Blue Book and ultimately your series. Give them a rundown. What can they expect?
For sure. So in the early 1950s, you know, after a series of sightings, sort of the modern wave of the UFO era, UFO historians believe, began in 1947. And the beginnings in 1952, the U.S. Air Force launched what was to be their official investigation into UFOs, to go out there and explain what people were seeing in the skies, credible pilots and military personnel, et cetera. And as part of that effort, they recruited a civilian astrophysicist, a man by the name of Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who himself was a complete UFO skeptic at the time, to be a part of that effort, to go out there and look at cases and interview witnesses and fill out forms and really delve in deep into what was going on. And what's fascinating about his journey is that over the course of his tenure working for the U.S. Air Force and working on Project Blue Book, he switched sides. He went from a skeptical astrophysicist who really thought there was nothing to this to a man who devoted the rest of his life, when Project Blue Book ended in 1969, to the study of UFOs, because he felt that genuinely there is a mysterious phenomena in our skies that we've yet to fully understand. It's worthy of, scientific inquiry. And I always just thought that journey of somebody who really is a trained eye and understands, all the various types of natural phenomena that happens in our skies, that he became convinced that there is something of an unknown origin, something of an intelligence, something that we can't yet explain, blew my mind. And then, and then that sort of became the genesis. Once I learned about him and his story, I was like, oh my goodness. And then there's just so many cases, they looked at over 12,000 cases, over 700, unexplained. And I just felt like, gosh, could we do something where every week we're looking at a new case, some of the seminal cases that were occurring at the time, and kind of take us on a journey, through how he changed and what made him change.
So the series itself, so it dives into some of the real cases and the case files?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I read a number of books. I mean, you know, Dr. Allan Hynek himself wrote, I believe, 3 books, The UFO Experience being the one people are probably most familiar with. The first director of Project Blue Book also wrote a wonderful book called The Report on Flying Saucers, Captain Edward Pelt, upon which Michael Mullarkey, one of our other actors on the series, his character is sort of a composite of that character and a couple other characters. That was the initial inspiration. And so in those books, there were just some great cases, you know, along with, of course, like, you know, the Project Blue Book files themselves and, you know, people who have cataloged all the unknown cases. So we just tried to look for some of the best, most intriguing cases, dramatic cases, and kind of bring them to life for folks who are familiar with them. And of course, many folks who may not be familiar with some of these seminal, you know, UFO cases from the past.
It's good to hear that you did research and sounds like you read a lot of books and read up on what the story was. Let me ask you from a personal, on a personal front, did you have an interest in UFOs and these types of stories prior to creating this series, or were you kind of just thrown into
yes.
it? You did.
So I grew up in New York City, but for whatever reason, I've been fascinated with this subject for as like long as I can remember. I mean, I remember seeing, you know, when I saw E.T. in theaters when I was like 3 or 4 years old, I remember leaving Reese's Pieces out on my windowsill on the 9th floor of the Upper West Side. There was a great book called Communion that came out in the 80s.
Yeah, Whitley Strieber's
book. And they
book,
turned
yeah.
it into a, they actually, you know, with Whitley Strieber wrote, and they turned it into a movie starring Christopher Walken. And I remember dragging my dad to take me to see that movie in 1989. And I was 9 years old at the time, and it scared the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know what I mean? It became a lifelong sort of fascination. In high school, I would read. I think for me, my journey was I started more with kind of the present UFO, which then was like in the 90s, sort of the present phenomena, reading books that were coming out then. But, you know, watching like all the like UFO documentaries on like Fox, like, you know, the best evidence caught on tape and stuff like that. And then as I got older and I started to really look at this more seriously, especially like in my 20s, that's when I really started to look back and be like, wait, wow, like, you know, America's history with this phenomena is even more fascinating and more kind of tangible and something you can really grab onto because there's so many documents and so many reports and there was this real life investigation than even some of the things happening now. And I just, you know, it blew my mind of just like, you know, the more you kind of dig into just how seriously this phenomena was taken, going back to like the very beginning, you know, the more I felt, wow, like that's a story people don't necessarily know. Certainly people know about, you know, the Phoenix Lights or things that hit the news as time was passing by, but they may not know that, like, you know, do people know that the U.S. Air Force took this matter seriously enough? They launched an official investigation into it for 17 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not know that. And then I was living in LA, you know, working as a writer and then, you know, just literally one night, like having a glass of wine with my wife, we were just talking about television ideas and it sort of hit me like, oh my God, this could be like a real life UFO conspiracy thriller set in the time of, you know, Mad Men essentially.
Yeah.
And that sort of just became the genesis of it. And then, you know, we kind of, it sort of started to take off from there.
Before we dive into the series a little bit more, let me ask you, was there something as you're researching this, because I'm always fascinated by people's reaction to it, because as you said, there's a lot to this. There's a lot of amazing truth. And honestly, truth, for the most part, is a lot stranger than fiction the majority of the time.
Yeah.
And so was there something that stuck out to you out of this whole kind of narrative that really motivated you to create the Project Blue Book series?
I mean, I think like the character of Hynek as a way in and the fact that this was a man who had access to all these cases and was himself a very kind of meticulous scientist who shifted sides. That was huge for me because like, here's a man who like, you know, really does have the access and the ability to kind of study what's really going on here. So that was big for me. Certainly some of like, you know, some of the documents that are kind of, you know, not disputed, you know, the estimate of the situation, things were like, wow, like you really do find these governmental documents that like seem to claim that like, you know, that this is a phenomena that is genuinely being, uh, taken so seriously that it's trickling all the way up the chain of command. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of documents blew my mind. And then just, you know, honestly, the sort of totality of the cases, just how many, if you go back and look, I mean, there's just so many reports, and so many of these witnesses, especially early on, are like military pilots and police officers and you know what I mean, scientists, people who really should have a trained eye to understand what they're looking at. And if they're claiming, you know, I think it's General Sanford who in 1952 said something like, we have some credible reports of seeing, of, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, of like, you know, some relatively credible reports of relatively incredible things.
Yeah.
And that sort of is what is the truth. And that's what was happening. And frankly, that is what is still happening. As far as I believe. And so it was, you know, sort of a number of things. Mm-hmm. I think it's more the totality of the phenomenon, the totality of the history involved than any one smoking gun piece of evidence for me. But Hynek's arc and the fact that he was like at the forefront of this new science of ufology and everything, I just thought was like, wow, that's just such an incredible, how do you do that? How do you begin to catalog something that really is still kind of unexplained?
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. And I'm guessing throughout the whole series, you'll probably unfold that part of the story, but with Dr. J. Allen Hynek coming in, he's got the science of, the science background, and he goes in and he's really that debunker. Like you said, he turns by the end. How can you ignore that? Because even though the military upper brass was trying to explain UFOs, they didn't have that science comprehension level that Dr. Hynek did. And I think a lot of people miss that. And I'm excited to see the series to see if that unfolds. You had brought up briefly earlier about the cast. I want to make sure we talk about that, because now you've created this story, obviously motivated by passion, and it's not just a, you know, project that came across your desk. You obviously did your research with it. Talk to me about who's involved. Who are we seeing on screen? And in addition to you, who's behind the scenes?
Absolutely. So we have the wonderful Aidan Gillen, who many people will know from The Wire, Game of Thrones. He played Lord Baelish. He's just such a fantastic actor. He's playing Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Next, we have Michael Mullarkey, who is wonderful young actor, so talented. And he plays Captain Michael Quinn, who I spoke about a little bit earlier, is sort of, you know, based off the first director of Project Blue Book, Captain Ed Ruppelt. We have two generals. One is played by Neil McDonough. Folks, I think a lot of folks out there will probably know Neil's work. Just a wonderful actor, you know, been on a zillion different things, from Minority Report to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We got Michael Harney, who is another one of our generals. People know him from, like, Orange is the New Black. We have Laura Minnell, who plays Dr. Allen Hynek's wife, named Mimi. And she's great. She's just on Man in High, the new season of Man in High Castle. We have Ksenia Solo, who plays, I don't want to get too much away here, but plays sort of a new friend of Dr. Allen Hynek's wife, who may be more than she appears. And Ksenia's been in many, many wonderful projects as well. So, like, I mean, the cast, you know, sort of our six main series regulars were just incredible people, and just also just open-minded, curious, you know what I mean? They really delved into the research too. They wanted to really understand, you know, what this era was like, what the UFO, the UFO phenomena is. And they read the books and did all the research as well, which was fantastic. And then behind the camera, of course, we have the great, you know, Bob Zemeckis, executive producing. So that for me was like, I mean, you know, I still am like, did that happen? You know what I mean? It's still like, it's unbelievable to me that him, you know, and he has two very talented producers who work with him as well. A gentleman named Jack Rapke and Jackie Levine, who are on his staff. And they are fantastic too. And it's just so... It meant so much to me that they responded to the script and that they got involved and that they wanted to do this, and they wanted to do it in the way that we wanted to do it. And it's been just a blessing to have him on board and to, you know, and just to learn and just be around just such greatness and talent across the board.
Yeah. And I want to ask you a little bit about the storytelling as well. Obviously, history's audience.
Sure.
I've had a lot of fun producing and directing for them myself and various programs, and they're obviously a very fact-driven audience. Can I ask, is there, I don't know what the right way to ask this is because you've done your research, but is there a lot of creative license in the storytelling? Did you try and stay more documented and in fact and really talk about
that's
that, or is there a little
question.
Bit of license?
For sure. You know, listen, we do dramatize certain elements for mm-hmm. sure, and we did have to take certain liberties. You know, we're not a documentary on Project Blue Book. You know, a lot of those already exist. We are a television dramatization. But what was important for us was that every week there were things people could just search. You know, every week, every case is real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every week you can be like, no way, that didn't happen. And then you go online and you're like, oh my God, it did. You know, obviously, like, all the characters, you know, are based off of real life people, you know, whether it be the generals, the Hynek, of course, was a real life guy, you know, Captain Michael Quinn, et cetera. So we tried to be as authentic as we could. But yes, you know, there are times where, like, you know, oh, you'll see that, you know, chronologically, that was really hard to keep. You know, to keep perfect. So we may, you know, but we were very good about if the series takes place between like kind of the fall of 1951 and 1950, you know, through 1952, we mm-hmm. tried to not have cases that veer too far away from that timeline. Maybe they went back to 1948, but they, you know, and up to like 1953, but we tried to honor as best we could sort of a window, mm-hmm. but it's tricky because, you know, we're also a TV series and like TV, you know, TV is a highly competitive, you know, landscape, and we wanted to make sure that we're telling the best stories as well. But every major ingredient of the show has aspects of truth, from like, you know, Men in Black series to, you know, precursors to MK Ultra, like, you know, everything there are aspects of, like, every aspect of the show that we explore has a basis in real life sort of historical programs or events.
Yeah, and that's understandable. When you're telling a story from 60 plus years ago, you know, there wasn't emails that you can go by and you know, Twitter check-ins and stuff like that to really paint a 100% accurate picture. So that's fair. But I wanted to ask you about that. You don't have to. This will be one of my last questions here before I have to let you go. But
sure.
You don't have to go through all of the cases that you have in the series, because I'm sure you want some of them to unfold with the series itself. But can I at least ask you about what your favorite one was that you have in the series, if I could, and why would it be
Absolutely.
Your favorite?
Absolutely. I think I'm going to go, because I don't want to spoil too much with like some of the cases we explore later. And in all honesty, I do love them all. They're each very different, and that was something we tried to do. I'm gonna go with the Flatwoods Monster case of West Virginia, just because for me that case, what was fascinating about that case is multiple witnesses, you know. And for those not familiar with this case, it was basically like something mysterious crashed down in the woods of West Virginia. A farm lady and a number of kids went out to kind of investigate. There was like a toxic mist in the air. There were, you know, that caused like these like very bizarre skin burns on the children and on the witnesses. And then the big thing, of course, is that they saw some sort of mysterious creature. And what I always liked about that case was just the strangeness of it, the fact that they always stuck to their story, the fact that there were multiple witnesses, you know, the fact that it was taken seriously, but kind of explained away. You know, it's just one of those ones that has persisted. But like, there's so many, you know, I mean, each one, you know, but that one always for me had a bit of like the high strangeness quality to it, of just sort of like what they describe, the multiple sort of ways in which it seemed to affect them. But, you know, it's hard. There's so many good ones, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see the entire series. I want to thank you personally just to give me a sneak peek at it and be able to spend a little bit of time with you. The series is Project Blue Book. It premieres tomorrow, January 8th, on History Channel. Definitely tune in. David O'Leary, thank you so much. And again, congratulations on the series. I'm looking forward to seeing the whole run, and I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, John. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And it was my pleasure, and thank you all for listening. Make sure you subscribe on all of the different channels and avenues to do so. You can find all the links at www.theblackvault.com/show notes. That will link over to everything that David and I talked about, along with all the other shows and all of the icons on how to subscribe. Make sure if you enjoy the show, also please help me out by adding a review to iTunes or the Google Play Store, or whichever way you listen. That's a huge help for me because it does bring up the ranking of the Black Vault Radio so others can enjoy the show as well. Thanks again for listening. This is John Greenwald Jr. signing off. We'll see you next time.